Hey, welcome back to the JK Moto Podcast. Not so weekly motorcycle podcast for the everyday rider. Specificity on everyday rider. If you're just an average dude out there riding motorcycles and you're looking for someone to chat with, well, we won't converse with you, but you can join along as we converse about motorcycling, because that's what we do. Anyway, we cover current bike and racing news, and we specialize in track days, club racing, and great entertainment. And we are brought to you this week by JK Moto Entertainment, which is your one-stop shop for all of your track day questions, answers, club racing questions and answers, and really just about anything kind of related to motorcycles, specifically out on the racetrack. We got a pretty good list of videos going over there, so go check it out on the YouTube channel. If you're here on YouTube with us, thank you. Please click the subscribe button down below if you haven't already. To my listeners that follow along every time we film, I appreciate you. Throw a like down on the video. If you have any questions or anything throughout, throw some comments down, or if you don't agree with us, I am a big Mark Marquez fan, and it's a great year to be a Mark Marquez fan. So
yes, it is.
We'll get into that in a little bit. But anyway, if you're not on YouTube with us, go check out the YouTube channel, JK Moto Entertainment. It's got a lot of great stuff. I absolutely love it. 100% worth it. I guess I probably should love it. It's my channel. But anyway, subscribe when you get over there. And then the final... this will be about an hour to an hour and a half, maybe even two, probably not. If you don't want to sit and just watch that on a screen, we completely understand. So down in the description, our RSS link, go check it out. Figure out what platform you want to listen to on or you already use to listen on. And follow us over there. Give us a follow. Leave us some comments and a review. I think I'm supposed to ask for a review on like Spotify. Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google, Amazon, all the list. We're on it. Anyway. Today is finally time. We're back to the official MotoGP coverage of the 2025 season.
Long awaited.
I know. The winter
took too long.
It is always so long. So I want to go ahead, bust out an intro, and then get into it because I am ready to talk.
Right.
My first track day, I got the pictures back, and I was like, I'm never doing that again. On the ground at 100 miles an hour.
We're back. You know my favorite part about turning the TV on for MotoGP again after a long winter?
Watching your boy in red and after leading all the testing and all the practice sessions?
We'll get to that. No, actually, it's that whole like the intro theme, and then when the guy gets on and he's like, and it's time for MotoGP. I love it.
Dun, dun,
yeah, it's so great. It's great. It's great to turn the TV back on, see the cool colors come back on, and get the music.
Watch a little montage of all the current riders.
Yep, which, I'm going to be honest, this week, due to other circumstances, I had to kind of just skip ahead to the race. I didn't have time to watch all the stuff, and I didn't catch practice or qualifying. I was catching that just through whatever.
Updates on the app.
Yep. But that is always my favorite part of coming back. We are back. We didn't start in Qatar this year, in case you don't follow MotoGP. Also, I have to get a little bit more news out for the podcast. We mentioned that we are not so weekly anymore, but I've been doing some filming in the background with some different guests, and we're going to kind of pop those in here and there. So we might have a couple. I was looking at the MotoGP schedule, and I'm like, this is every other week. So if we just do this every other week, all we're going to do is MotoGP. So we'll have some surprise episodes kind of coming in. Basically, what you can take out of it, if you're a normal listener, once again, follow and subscribe, and you'll get a notification saying, hey, new episode available, JK Moto Podcast, on whatever platform you listen to, and that'll let you know when it's coming out, because I can't predict the future exactly. But we'll have a couple episodes popping in between MotoGP from time to time as we bring different guests on throughout the year. And I also need to say, if you're interested in being a guest, please let me know. You can hit me up on Instagram or Facebook at JK Moto Podcast. Send me a DM. Give me a good reason why I should bring you on the podcast, other than Well, I also like motorcycles. Maybe that'll even work. I don't know. We'll see. I'll probably ask a few more questions after that. But
shoot my shot.
we can get you on, possibly, depending on what your reasoning is. So hit me with a good reason, and let's get some more guests going. I want to talk to every motorcyclist in the world that does track days. I'll put that caveat on there. If you haven't been on the track yet, I'll take one person that hasn't been on the track yet. Anyway, back to MotoGP. I don't even know where to start. I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, so I didn't watch any of the testing or anything after I got the bad news that Jorge Martin got injured, because that's all I cared for.
We should clear the air. Yeah. Who's your top rider? Who's your guy?
Jorge Martin when he comes back.
Okay.
But until then, I'm waiting with bated breath.
And are we big Aprilia fanboys now?
Oh, yeah. We're Aprilia fanboys in so much that they have Jorge Martin.
Okay.
But if I had to pick my manufacturer team, it's...
You need my jacket?
I might need to get a jacket for myself. Although if I had to pick one manufacturer for manufacturer's sake, it's still Team Blue, still Yamaha.
Still Yamaha.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we got Jorge Martin, side note, Yamaha, which Yamaha has four bikes this year.
Yeah.
And kind of surprised me this weekend.
I was actually really, during the sprint, I was looking forward to see what Jack Miller was going to do. He was doing really well until he crashed out.
Yeah. When he crashed, I was so bummed. I was like, bro, not the classic Jack Miller again. Before we fully get into it, I forgot, and I want to get this out of the way. Not out of the way like in a bad way, but out of the way and like we got to get this out of the way. We do have fantasy to talk about, which I was reminded about because of Yamaha. So if you haven't joined the fantasy yet, that's okay. Please join in. We'll be announcing the weekly point winner, and you can hit me up on Instagram. Let me know, and I'll send a nice little gift over your way if you're the weekly point winner. You can find us by searching JK Moto Entertainment, or there'll be a link down in the description, or the code, sorry, MotoGP Fantasy League code. So you go to MotoGP.com, click Fantasy, and type in that code. Either way. Anyway, currently only have four people in the Fantasy, so definitely looking for more. I think we had a pretty good show out last year. It was a lot of fun. But the current leader is Shifty from Canada. At a whopping 192 points, which is a lot more than me. I'll have everyone know that I am in last. Second place, Cam Head at 164.5, and third place, Sad Satellite at 136. So Shifty from Canada, you are the leader for this week. Please reach out, let me know. We'll have a chat, and I'll send something over your way. And for anyone else that wants to get in on the fun, please get in on it. Once again, that's on the MotoGP website. You go to the fantasy realm and type in either JK Moto Entertainment or grab our code from down below the description and throw that in. But I brought that up because I want to talk about my fantasy team and why I picked them.
I am curious to see who your fantasy team is. I already know who the number one rider in your team is.
Yeah, everyone knows the number one. If you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, you know I'm a big Mark Marquez fan. If you're a Mark Marquez hater, well, come enjoy some good banter about Mark Marquez, because I'm a huge fan, and it's shaping up to be a great year. It is shaping up to be so good. And it's only the first race, and I'm going to get into how I'm not actually so sure yet, and we'll get into that in a bit. But yes, Gold Rider, number one, of course, the best rider on the grid, in the best bike on the grid, Mark Marquez, with the Ducati Lenovo team in red. The second Gold Rider, you got any guesses?
I know it's not Pecco.
Absolutely not.
It's not.
It should have been. But
Bezzecchi?
Nope.
Jorge Martin?
Nope.
Thought you had taste.
He went out. I was gonna put him in.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. I got to add him back to my team.
The fantasy, I got to play it right.
Hmm.
You get one more shot.
Bastianini.
No, absolutely not. It is Fabio Quartararo.
Really?
Yeah. Right. So in testing, I was looking. I was like, dude, Yamaha's got it. This guy's hungry. He wants it. He's gonna get out there and do great. He kind of let me down. And I need to move him out of my gold, and I'm going to do that soon, just as a hint if you're looking for beating me. It's not hard, because I'm in the bottom. But my silver riders, I got Alex Marquez and Pedro Acosta, because Alex really surprised me, and then I thought about the fact that Ducati didn't really change bikes this year.
They didn't.
Right? So that's kind of a big player to that. And I think, let's see, Constructor, Yamaha, and Team Gresini. We'll see how that turns out, but... It did not do me so good this year, or this week. Fabio kind of let me down. He was looking great in
the practices.
he was looking pretty okay in qualifying, and so I had my hopes up, and then it kind of just went down the drain. Not bad.
I love Fabio Quartararo, but realistically speaking, I think I love Yamaha. Mm-hmm. But until they show me something, I still think they'll be like a leader of like the midfield teams, if that makes any sense. Like the furthest up the grid for non-Ducati bikes, possibly, yeah, will be the best that they can do.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's still a lot of Ducati bikes.
Yeah, there are still 6 Ducatis out there. Yeah. We got rid of 2 of them, which was good. Those turned into, what do you know it, Yamahas.
Man, Jack Miller, he's doing his thing.
He is doing his thing out there. He's doing okay. The Yamahas are freaking me out this year, though. Like, especially the Pramac ones, because they're purple.
Yeah.
And the wing, it's always looked similar to Aprilia, but with that color scheme,
it's very close.
They are so, like, it is so hard to tell
Aprilia's color schemes, yeah. Especially when they're blurring across the screen.
Yeah. So every time, like, there are so many changes out there. Like, one, picking Mark out. I mean, he was in first all the time, so
yeah, it was kind of that hard.
But, you know, trying to be like, all right, the red one with the 93, that's the one I care about.
The red bike with the red numbers on the front.
That doesn't work either.
Yeah. The 93, the 63?
Yeah, I guess. Pecos is in white, I think.
No, I think it was red this race.
The important part is the red one that's in front.
Oh, okay. That's how you tell. Right? Okay,
I'll remember that. If it's in front, that's Mark. If it's not, then it's Bagnaia. So. Yeah. But, yeah, Yamaha, I was holding out. I put Yamaha as my constructor and Fabio because I was holding out on the fact that we had a lot of testing in Thailand, and that's where we are for the first race. I'm not holding out on them having a great season. Not quite there yet. Much like you, they haven't really shown me that yet. And so, but I was like, hey, maybe for the first race we'll be good. Probably going to dump them right away because they didn't show me a whole lot, and that was a track that they had a lot of testing at. So, that kind of clears up Yamaha for me. You got anything else on Yamaha?
No.
Sad.
No, I want to see them do. I want to see more out of Yamaha this year, honestly. So I'm still looking forward to it. Only had one race so far, right? Jack Miller, Fabio, still fantastic riders. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see what else they have in stock.
It'll be interesting. I think one of the most interesting parts will be the fact that they still have concessions, as far as I know, and Ducati isn't an engine freeze. Right, so that was
no more development for them.
Yeah, right. That was big news before we actually got here. In the Burram test, they're like, hey, which one do you like better to both the riders? And they both came back with very similar feedback. And that feedback was like, well, 24 might be the way to go. And ended up on the grid with basically the GP24. They're calling it the GP25. I haven't dug into it a ton. I've been a little busy.
Follow technicalities,
but
like this versus this.
Even everything I've seen has said like it is almost exactly the same. They're going to change some things that the satellite teams won't be able to change throughout the year. They've got some plans, but the aero was even pretty similar. There were a couple of key differences, but I mean we saw it too. You know, Alex Marquez all weekend was
on the GP24 from last year, right?
Right, yeah. On last year's bike was absolutely killing it.
Yeah.
So in practice, in qualifying, and then in the sprint in the race.
Yeah, double P2.
Yeah, which is awesome for him. The only sad part is it's like he's actually kind of in contention with Mark this year, and he's in contention with Mark. So
either way, the Marquez household's winning.
Yeah, which is good, but it's just kind of that old, like, at what point do you admit that you'll never be your brother? I don't know. I guess you're making money and you're still having fun. So
I'm not going to lie. You can say that, but I don't think there's contention. He's second, but you saw that part where Mark, like, you know, eased up and then decided, all right, I want to be in first again. And then he was in first again. It was like no contest, no battle. I was like, I'm going to pass you now. Passed him. Gap.
Yeah.
Took him a gap of bees after that.
It threw everyone for such a loop. The commentators were freaking out. Everyone was trying to figure out what was going on. Even the team back in the garage was like, yo, what? What is going on?
I've seen this one before.
Yeah, he's just like, gets behind him. And then I was sitting there. My only worry was that Bagnaia would catch up. He was never able to.
Yeah.
But.
Anytime that happens, I'm like, oof, maybe Bagnaia gets a whiff.
Yeah, it was nuts though, dude. 3 laps left.
And now.
Yeah. And it was just gone.
He's a whole different class of rider.
It is a different breed. Alex Marquez was quoted saying, he's worried for anyone on the grid with his brother this year, because when Mark is on point, he's unstoppable. Yeah. And he is on point.
It's shaping up to see look like he's on point, on one of the best bike, on the best bike on the grid. I don't see him facing much competition.
I
thought Pecco would have a little bit more for him, but we'll see.
Yeah.
It's looking like...
Without jinxing myself, because once again, I'm a fan. I'm predicting, I'm going to throw it out there, whatever you want to say, I don't care. I'm predicting 2019 all over again. I know you didn't watch in 2019, but I think I've told you about it.
If all the commentators' hype was to be believed this last race, 2019, I'm going to have to go back and watch that season.
It's not worth watching. Mark up in the corner, 12 seconds ahead, every freaking race. Maybe 6 seconds. Maybe I'm exaggerating. But it's literally like you watch a race, which is nothing, and then there's this like dude in the corner just gone. Oh. Every single race.
Kind of like Top Rack and World Superbike last year.
Yeah, pretty similar. Yep. And
everyone just fighting for second.
Yeah. So who knows? The tire pressure thing that caught him to be back in second, they were like, man, this is making this really exciting. I didn't really think it was that exciting.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was like what they said it was. But it was cracking me up that within like two laps of the race, they literally said, they were going on about how he's going to be the championship leader and it might be, you know, Mark's back. And the commentators were just long gone already. And it was cracking me up. It's awesome.
The stocks in Mark Marquez are going through the roof.
Yeah.
Marquez's stock is through the moon.
You know, they should do that. Motorcyclist stocks. It'd be like gambling, but you buy stocks instead. It's just, there you go. New business idea. Get your MotoGP rider stocks now on jkmotoentertainment.com.
Diamond hands on Mark Marquez.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's back. He's on top of his game. He feels great. He said it. He's fighting for the championship. Last year, he was very open and honest. And that's what I've been enjoying about Mark recently. Since his wreck, he's been very honest. And what he said is, it's also kind of scary, but what he said has been very accurate. Last year, everyone was like, oh, he could win the championship, and everyone was pushing it, and he was there the whole time saying, no, absolutely not. I'm not planning on it. I have a lot of work to do. I got to figure out this bike. It's not possible. As far as I've understood and interpreted, a little bit of this is my own interpretation, but he's always come out and like said, well, I'm still going to race. I'm still going to do my best, but it's not going to happen. I know where I'm at.
Just being real, yeah, realistic.
Right, and that's what we saw last year. This year, they have you put out the prediction. You know, every rider in the press conference does their predictions. He put himself on top, which means not only is he hungry, but he also thinks he's finally ready. So he is confident in his package, and
it's ready to add another title to the list.
Yeah. Yep. And do something that no one else has ever done. So, or at least Rossi wasn't able to do, which is win on two separate constructors. So I think it is a little bit of what's the right word for that?
A little grudge, a little personal.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of personality and a personal hold in that. You know, him and Rossi have a history.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah,
that's what I've heard.
There's a history there, and I do definitely think that part of that is proving to Rossi I'm doing something you could never do, and he has a 2-year contract. If he can win two world championships, which is way too early to be talking about, but I love Mark, so we got to talk about him real quick. If he can win two back-to-back, that'll put him at 10, which will put him at the most ever, and he will officially hit the best ever. And it'd be pretty hard to beat.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's slowing down anytime soon.
So, yeah, and so next part we got to talk about is Jorge, because what I am worried about and what I think is going to actually play to Marquez's advantage is you look at Mark. Mark did amazing this weekend. A 1-1-1 all the way around, topped everything. It was perfect. A perfect weekend for Mark, right? His brother was a 2-2-2 all the way around, seconded everything, perfect. Okay, arguably Marquez's biggest rival is
Jorge Martin?
No.
Pecco Bagnaia?
Pecco Bagnaia. Most people would say biggest rival. We don't know how Jorge is yet, and unfortunately he wrecked out, so we haven't been able to see that. But the other wild card is Jorge. Is he going to be able to show up on the Aprilia?
That's the thing I'm also I'm also worried about that because Aprilia's showing wasn't really all that last year consistently.
Yeah.
And then even this year, With one notable exception, I think they are like pretty much an average showing. I am very curious to see how Jorge performs on that on a GP weekend.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not really looking at the Factory Aprilia team right now.
Yeah.
After the last GP.
Yeah. Well, that's what we'll get into Agüero. We'll get into that. I think this weekend was very important for Mark because he kept Pecco in third. And I say he didn't, but Pecco was in third, which is important because that means Alex took even more points, right? Which puts Pecco even further behind in the championship lead. And right off the bat, like
off
that,
the bat
and get, yeah.
Out right? the gate.
It's a great spot to start. Second that with the fact that Jorge wasn't there to get points and won't be there next weekend either.
Yeah, he's missing the first two GP weekends.
So that's huge. Unfortunately, like I had hopes for Jorge because he's a defending champion.
What was it, first place like 25 points?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 50 points just off the bat that Jorge Martin just does not have access to.
Yep, correct. Right, which can be huge in the end. Huge, yeah. Especially when he's on a brand new bike. Mm-hmm. And all the other factors. And so that my hope was that he would come in.
Even fighting for third in the championship might be tough.
Possibly. Yeah, generally, the guys in the past 2 years with the Pecco Jorge battle, the guys in the top have wrecked out enough that
yeah,
as long
that's
as you're
that,
up
yeah,
there,
yeah,
you
yeah.
can kind of play along. Yeah. I don't want to jinx anything, but a certain dude looks pretty fresh. The testing went extremely well. And then the entire weekend went absolutely perfect. Now, once again, that is a track that we did testing at. So, the next race will be very telling. It'll be telling for Yamaha. Did they actually figure something out, or did they just have a lot of testing done at that track? Are
That's
Mark and Pecco actually on the best bikes? Is Alex Marquez on the 24 actually a contender, or did he just have a lot of good testing and was really good at that track?
I didn't think about that, all the testing that everybody did at that track versus a track that testing was not done at.
Yeah, it'll be pretty telling.
I can't wait for the next GP weekend.
It'll be good. The other thing that the commentators brought up, though, is the next two GPs are some of Mark's favorite tracks.
Yeah, they did say that.
Argentina and Texas. So, anyway, that's one of the big reasons I'm predicting maybe a 2019 is that it feels like he's got a good chance to just run away and go straight off the bat, which is huge. And Martin is not here to possibly contend. And it sucks because I really was hoping that Martin would come in and throw an Aprilia in the mix and be there.
Yeah, but now he'll be starting on the back foot.
Yeah, and he wrecked out like day one of testing, which means he didn't get that testing time. So he's not only behind in points, he's also behind in just riding time on this brand new bike that he hasn't really had much riding on yet. So big bummer there. We pray for a speedy recovery, hoping he comes back soon. He can make it to Texas. I know he's... Surgeries are all scheduled. It was just recovery from the surgery. He actually got a tip from Marquez to like, hey, listen to your body, take care of it. You're still young. Mark literally said like, my wreck taught me a lot. You're young. You've got a chance. You've got the spirit. You're a good rider. Which was interesting because you could see it as like, hey man, don't worry about it. I'll win the championship. It'll be okay. But I think it was good advice,
I'll take that
right?
Like, shut up your hands this year.
Don't worry. Just looking at it real, I think it was heartfelt and it was meant because Mark knows he's getting old. He's on his way out.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it's a while to think that 32 or 33 is old and on the way out.
Yeah. In MotoGP, it is absolutely.
Should have started motorcycles way younger.
Yeah. 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 that's the issue. You get out there doing track days and you realize like, oof.
I should have started 15 years ago.
Yeah, we're a little behind the curve, that's for sure. All right, moving from Jorge into just Aprilia in general. Not Agüero yet, we'll get there. But you mentioned it's more on the lines of Jorge, just kind of period. But Bezzecchi, it was very hard because it's going to be a difficult season because I am a Mark fan. I keep saying that, but like, it is hard to watch a race and pay attention to get this
literally
data
anybody
out
else.
When I'm just like, yeah, my guy's doing it. Like, I'm excited for the first time in years.
Oh, yeah, there's a race back here.
Because I started watching in 2019-ish, but really in 2020. Like, in 2019, I was kind of watching, didn't know anyone else. So I was like, yeah, cool. And then between 2019 and 2020, I went back, watched the whole history. I, like, watched every race from 2013 because I was like, I can't just be a bandwagoner. Then we come into 2020, it's COVID. And then he had the big wreck. And it's just been me, like, praying that he actually comes back and I have something to be a fan of,
so you
and
can watch,
to find out.
So you can watch the glory days in real time.
Yeah, right? Because I want to enjoy it. So I'm very excited this season. But I did notice Bezzecchi looked okay.
He wasn't bad. What did he get, like sixth?
Yeah.
Overall?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So That's nice to see a factory Aprilia up there near the top five. Weird that he's being beat by the Trackhouse Aprilia. I guess we'll get into it. Ralph Fernandez kind of doing the same thing. Jorge's not there. Those are the Aprilias. The weirdest part to me about the weekend was the KTMs.
Being behind everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just not there. And
I think Bastianini got like ninth in the overall GP, but I expected more from him. Granted, it's a new bike, new manufacturer, all that good stuff. But I know Bastianini, he's good. I know that he's good. I've seen it all last year.
He is, absolutely.
Whenever he clutches up, he shows.
Yeah, he's got the talent. But one would argue that Pedro also has the talent, and one would argue that Brad Binder has the talent. And Brad Binder's been on that bike forever. So to see Brad Binder fighting for his life in the back, not the back, but pretty far back, behind some Hondas even, although shout out to Juan Mir, he kept it real, crashed out in the race, as per the classic. We'll get into Honda in a little bit, but yeah, KTM just...
Hey, at least the livery's pretty sick.
I do like the livery. I do. It's sad to see them...
That Honda Red?
Repsol, though. I don't know if it's sad. It's just like, it's kind of wild.
It's because the Repsol's so iconic.
Yeah.
It's been the look for like years now.
Forever. That's what, like, I think back and I'm like remembering people buying the Repsol fairings for their CBRs in like 2005. You'd see those things and be like, well, that's so cool.
But now they've gone back to the more iconic Honda, like Honda brand red.
Yeah. Red and a little bit of blue in there. I like it. I mean, it looks great. It's kind of retro looking. It's awesome. I'm all about it. It is sad to see the Repsol go, but I'm glad that Honda didn't just die off once Repsol was gone. They stuck to it. It also looks like they put in some work. For the first weekend, I think realistically the Hondas were doing pretty good out there, in my opinion.
What were their placings? I forgot.
There were... I'll just pull it up.
Just pull it up.
I don't want to be making things up. I think Zarco was in the top 10.
So, 1, 2, 3 was the podium. It was like Marquez, Pecco.
Yep, and then Morbidelli, which makes sense.
And yeah, then Ogura, and then Bezzecchi.
Yep, and then Zarco in 7th.
Yep.
Binder, Bastianini in 8th and 9th, which is better than I thought.
Yeah.
And then DG down in 10th.
What did Quartararo end up?
Quartararo in the race was in 15th.
He didn't start at 15th. He was, man.
Yeah, Quartararo had a rough race. Pedro wrecked out.
He was further up early in the race. I remember that.
Yep. Pedro wrecked out, ended up in 19th. Juan Mir wrecked out. He was very upset about it. He walked off all pissed off at the bike.
Yeah, I saw that yellow flag.
Yeah. Not happy about that one. I'm not sure. I have these high hopes in my head for... Let me check on Luca just to get the rest of the Hondas out. Yeah. In 12th. So, I mean, Zarco's going to be like the silent Honda telling this year, because Zarco is a very refined rider. That realistically, he kind of just hopped into this LCR Honda ride because it was like a 3 or 4 year contract. And he's like, no, that's, I got money. I'm good.
I got a job.
Just sit here and ride the bike. I'll be good to go. I think it'll be very telling for like where Honda's actually at. So I think Mir will be out there pushing, which also is more likely to wreck. And with his history of wrecking that he kept up
It's a vicious cycle.
Yep. I think it'll be very telling. But they've also got some concessions still going. So them and Yamaha, I think, can still be doing the testing thing, whereas Ducati's frozen for the next 2 years, right, until we get the change. So that'll be – I personally don't think Yamaha and Honda will do anything this year. I think it'll just
be... That's a fair point.
It'll be a fight for which one's going to be killing the top 10.
Yamaha.
I say that with the caveat of KTM kind of confused me again, and are they going to fix their stuff? Or
come out ahead or come out behind those two? Yeah.
Right. So they I think Honda and Yamaha will be right there next to each other. KTM could be in front or behind. And is that related to the money thing? Is that just...
I'm sure the commentators will talk about it at some point.
Possibly, yeah. It'll be interesting. Saw a hot rumor that BMW was looking at buying KTM.
I saw that as well.
Wasn't
sure how much I could trust that, but I did see that.
Yeah, so we'll keep up on that and let you guys know if we hear anything more on it, but who knows? That's the question with KTM this year. They kind of... I had, like, in my head, we had Mark, Pecco, Pedro, Quartararo, and Martin all battling out the top five.
Yeah, but the way that's shaping up, it's not exactly like that.
No, it's Mark and Alex.
Yeah.
Not battling at all, because Mark can just stomp on him.
And then Pecco behind Pecco, that.
And then Ducati.
And then and then Martin's not even in attendance right now. There.
I really hope he can come back, recover quick, and do something this year. I think I don't want to just throw the season out the window already.
It's only one race. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. It could be super fun.
Especially after watching last season, all the trials and tribulations all the races went through in the top, fighting for it. It was like, who, like, do you guys want it or not? Right
Literally every weekend, someone else was like, I'm in the lead, dump. Bro.
It went down to the wire.
Yeah, it did, which is awesome. I love to see it because it keeps you in it till the end. It's huge. It's way better than like, all right, there's 10 races left and someone already won the championship. But
it's a formality at that point.
But I do think, just to kind of bring it up, I think 2026 will be a lot bigger year for a good intermixing.
Because is that the first year with the regulations for the new 50s?
No, that'll be 2027. Right? 2026, though, we still have Ducatis frozen. So they can't make a new engine for next year. And that's big, because they also chose the engine from last year. So technically, they're almost in a three-year freeze. That's huge. Aprilia will be back. Jorge will be on it. Jorge will have a year under his belt.
True.
Okay. Yamaha and Honda have another year of concessions to get their stuff picked up and get back in it. Quartararo will still be there. And KTM, as long as they don't go down the drain this year, they've got a solid group of riders with them, realistically.
Yeah. Binder and Coster.
Maverick, I honestly think Maverick's kind of out and done.
Just there for a check at this point?
Yeah. Yeah. He had his shot, and he kind of blew it multiple times. Had his savior come back in and grab him, Aprilia, and then gave that up for a KTM, and I don't know why. He's never really shown that much consistency, though, and I don't think he's going to be able to do it in the KTM this year. Going to a new bike? Don't think so. That being said, he's probably going to win one race on a KTM, so he can mark off another separate manufacturer.
Run it back to back. Run it back to back on Coda.
Yeah, maybe.
Batman strikes again.
I don't think he's taking it from Mark this year. I don't think so. But he won on a Suzuki, he won on a Yamaha, he won on an Aprilia. I feel like I'm missing one, but I don't think so. I think he holds a record of the first person to win on like three manufacturers. So if he pulls off a win on an Aprilia, or sorry, on a KTM this year, that'll add another one to that record and make it even harder for someone else to beat him, which is kind of cool, but he just doesn't have the consistency. I'm not really worried about him being a problem. But yeah, I do think 2026 will be like, all right, this is maybe when finally – it's also our last year, so theoretically all the manufacturers should be pulling all the stops out, should be hitting it heavy, hard, and we should get a pretty good year. But, okay, so Aprilia, Bezzecchi in the factory. Ralph Fernandez left early because the bike was too hot.
Is that why he retired early?
That's what they said. They said he'd been complaining. They said he had had fears all weekend that the bike would be too hot during the race because the Aprilia's run hot. And he pulled off because it was just unbearable out there. It was very hot out there in Thailand this weekend, so that's definitely part of it. But it's weird to see someone do that when all the other Aprilias are still out there.
Yeah.
Like,
especially since it was objectively an Aprilia pushing, the same Aprilia pushing it harder than he was that stayed out there. But I guess it could also be that Gurge is hungrier.
Yeah, well, but that's what makes me mad about it, right? If I was a manufacturer and I hired a rider, and the rider came in and was like, "Eh, the bike's too hot," but I have another rider that was out there pushing and is hungry, I'm gonna be pissed off at the guy that's not hungry enough. Like, I'm paying you to be hungry and go get my
millions of dollars.
Right, that's what the sponsors want. That's everything else. I made a joke yesterday. I told my wife, I was like, we were watching it, and I'm like, you know, he just popped back behind Alex to get his sponsors more screen time. He's getting paid an extra. When Mark popped back behind, I was like, he's just trying to get back on screen to get his side sponsors some more screen time. He's getting a deal for that.
He's playing chess.
Yeah,
he's playing chess.
He got a phone call. It's like, hey, we really want to sell more laptops. Can you get back on the TV, please?
Could you imagine they put down the pit board too far ahead? Yeah. need more screen time. he looks at it. Rolls off. His bet rolls off.
The truth comes out. Oh, man.
Tire pressure.
Yeah. We could wrap it up under that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'll work.
The crazy part is that, like, they talk about tire pressure, and tire pressure is nuts. So the way that tire pressure works in MotoGP is that you have a tire pressure tracker on your bike, and you have to maintain it, because if you have a little bit lower pressure, I think, this is just my understanding, but if you have a little bit lower pressure, you get a little bit better grip. So they have to maintain a certain band. So if they start too low, they won't get up hot enough to get the pressure up high enough to stay in the band. If a guy's running out in front, the track is not hot enough to put enough heat in there, and he can drop out of band. So what they were saying is that Mark saw that it was going to be low and knew that he had to hop back behind where there was some heat to get that pressure to come up long enough that he could then pop around and take off, which is effectively what we saw. But it's,
I think it did something similar last year too. With the VR46 bike. Was that Bezzecchi?
It was DG.
DG Antonio.
Yep. DG and Antonio. He popped up behind him to keep his tire pressure up. And I don't remember if he did that successfully last year or not.
No, he did not. They docked him like a 10-second penalty. He lost, man.
Yeah. Right. And so I mean, it worked this year. Realistically, it's weird to me because I think they were it got hotter throughout the weekend. And so they were trying to guess, right? And it is always a little bit of a
guessing. It's like trying to hit a moving target.
Yep.
Track might be a little hotter.
But I mean, that just, dude, it goes to, I hate to just talk this guy up, but can you imagine being out on the track and looking down and seeing your pressure in the middle of a race where you're a second and a half ahead and saying, oh, okay, I have to get back behind this guy. I'm on lap 4. Of 26, I'm going to need to do, and doing that calculation of like how many laps you're going to need
this many laps, and then I have to strike otherwise I'm settling for second.
Yeah.
Or, and if I over commit to going too far back, Pecco's there.
Yeah. Right. To do all that calculation and then
execute flawlessly.
Mastered.
Yeah.
Just,
what was it? 3 laps to go. He was like, all right, and I'm going to be in front again.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he kept that distance. Like he sat behind his brother perfectly the entire time,
and then you hear his brother talking about how he was struggling to maintain like toward the end, and Marquez was like, man, no.
Yeah, that's the other crazy freaking part. Yeah, Alex at the end, he saw his bike, dude, he was, I mean, props to Alex, that was an awesome race for him. I love to see it. It's weird, my like opinion of Alex is like, I'm always like, woo, yeah, you did it, like I'm so proud of him for no reason. But, yeah, at the end, he was fighting off Pecco with his bike just freaking going nuts. And here comes Mark, like, what do you mean no rear tire grip?
I still think one of my favorite ever, like, MotoGP clips that I saw before I started watching MotoGP was 2 clips. It's Jorge Martin breaking hard, going to a corner, rear tire up.
Yeah.
Going into the corner on one wheel. That one, and, like, his pit engineer's like. And then the other one is, like, I'm pretty sure it's Alex Marquez, corner. Feels the ground in the corner.
Yeah, the knuckles.
Looks at it
to see how wet it is.
And continues, like, that is, like, iconic.
Yeah.
And then, and then obviously the Jorge Martin, like, sideways on the ground.
Yeah.
Those are, like, some of my favorite, like,
clips.
Like, that is when I was like, I don't know what's going on here, but I need to watch that.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite things Jorge ever did was go to the track, do a track walk, and lay on the ground and be like, yep, that's where my shoulder goes. Oh man, I don't know how they resist the urge to just like dip their head.
Yeah,
like let me just
use a kickstand.
Yeah,
get the bike up.
Yeah, that'll be Mark's next crazy move. He's not going to use his knee anymore. He's going to use his head. Oh man, yeah. But I Agoura, we got to talk about him. We talked about Raul.
I don't think anyone saw that coming. Even like Agoura fans. I mean. Everyone who wanted him to do good, like, yeah, sure, we hope for the best. But anyone, I don't think anybody was like, rookie satellite team is going to be giving Pecco, the former world champion, a run for his money in for third 2 days in a row. I don't think anybody on a satellite Aprilia team.
Yeah, and let me check qualifying real quick.
No knocks to Trackhouse Aprilia, but like, last year they weren't showing anything that far up the grid, except for that one time, like, you know, both their riders crashed out from that far up the grid.
Yeah, he qualified in, just had it, fifth, looks like.
Yeah, still, even his qualifying times are fast, and then he kept it consistent during the race weekend.
Yeah, fifth, okay.
Yeah,
and that's what...
Faster than the factory Aprilia, faster than Ronald Fernandez, who's been, Wasn't Raul Fernandez on that bike last year as well with Oliveira?
Yep.
His teammate was on that bike last year, been in MotoGP longer, and then he outperformed him first showing.
Mm-hmm. And was playing with factory Ducatis, right? So that is why I have hope for Jorge coming back. At least to give us a good showing out there. It's because Iagura obviously showed that if you're hungry, you can go get it. Now,
there's kind of like Pedro last year, but without the falling off toward the end.
That's the key, right? And that's what I was about to say, is like there's a key detail in there of he came out and fought, and he stuck with it just about the entire time. Better in the sprint than the race, but even in the race, he was there, and that's...
And he only fell back to, what, fifth?
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Fifth for a satellite team on that, for a satellite Aprilia for a rookie?
On a rookie that I, to he be
could,
honest...
He could get that all year, every day, and his seat is, like, secured.
Yeah,
like,
I knew that's, nothing about this guy prior to... Like, I knew we had picked up Iagura. I didn't even know what team he was on.
Yeah, I knew we had a couple of rookies, but I was not looking at Trackhouse outside of their super dank livery.
Yeah.
Their livery was cool. Testing livery was cool. And this race week, they don't miss. 3 for 3, they don't miss. I'm like, ugh, that golf livery?
Yeah.
Big fan. Looking at more results.
Yeah.
I think he's a 2-time Moto2 world champion. I think that's what it was as well.
That is what I should look up real quick. Usually I have the computer in front of me, but... I don't even know how to spell it.
AI and then OG URA. Yeah. I.
Okay. Iagura 2024 standings. We'll do that. Let's see where he was at. So he led 2024 Moto2. Okay. Yeah. I think I kind of knew that, but anytime a rookie comes in anymore. Like, when Pedro came in, they were talking about him, right? Because it was, like, this big fight of, like, KTM wants him, blah, 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 blah. KTM promised him the factory bike. He didn't get it. When is he going to get it? They called him the next Mark Marquez. Yeah. They called him the baby Jesus. They called him all these things.
When Pedro Acosta first showed up last year, his stocks were high.
Yeah, yeah.
And his stocks were through the roof. And then they kind of just fell down throughout the season. Never bottomed out. He was still pretty good. He had really good showings. And my heart still breaks from, I forget what GP it was, but he almost was on the podium in first place, the sprint and the race, and he crashed at both times. That broke my heart.
Yeah.
Watching him fight with Pecco, I was like,
come on.
Come on.
No, it was rough. And that's what kind of made me sad about this weekend is I was ready for him to come back and do it. And now he's on the factory bike. He's got a year under his belt. He doesn't have to come out and make the little rookie mistakes. He can just come out and send it. And he was out there fighting, and then the bike went down. And that's what was rough. So,
good thing about first race of the season, longest season so far. We're gonna have a lot more opportunities for everyone to do something.
Very true.
Show us what's good. And I'm really looking forward to Pedro doing better than he did last year. He did good last year for a rookie.
I hope so. What the only like worry I have. For any team that didn't do well this weekend, which I would say across the board, KTM was the worst.
True.
Is that we did testing there.
Yeah.
If you do testing and then you show up and you don't do well, that means your testing didn't go that well.
Well, the issue is also this, right?
Let's see.
All the teams tested there, so statistically likely some team has to be on the lower chunk of that, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. But we had a KTM in 8th, 9th. And 16th, and then 19th. So
yeah, we should get a closer grouping.
yeah, maybe everyone up in the top 10. Yeah. I don't know about that.
And it looks like they're all factory bikes. Not so much that they're actually factory bikes, but the liveries are so similar.
Yeah, they dropped the gas. That also kind of threw me off.
Yeah, I saw them next to each other, and I forgot whose number was what. And I was like, I can't tell the difference anymore.
And it's all four.
Until like they show you like the name at the bottom and the number. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. 33 is this person.
Yep, it's. Yeah, it's less than ideal, but it's okay.
Yeah. At least I can tell the difference between Trackhouse and Aprilia Actual and Ducati and Grassini. Yamaha Pramac, it's kind of hard to tell the difference
Pramac,
with the purple and the blue.
I can tell Pramac apart from Yamaha, but Pramac is just confusing me.
Yeah.
Because they look like Aprilia. And it's more the wing. The wing mixed with the purple is just throwing me off. So, to get one or the other gone, but...
Iagura, we covered him, I think.
Let's see. You said Marquez, Pecco. Talked about Bezzecchi. See what's going to happen. Gura.
Marquez.
I also want to see KTM do better because I also want to see Bastianini do good again. After watching him last year, every time they call him the Beast and you watch him like earn that name, it's like, oof, this guy's got a little something.
Yeah, I get hopes.
But new bike, so we'll see how this turns out.
Yeah.
It could also be one of those things where it's like a testing year, like a rebuilding season. So they're trying to get that under them.
And that's that's what's hard though, is that like ever since Ducati's kind of like golden era has started, it feels like everyone else has just gone and out. So, which the weird part is that it was also centered around like Marquez wrecked. We had Mir on a Suzuki come out of nowhere. We had Quartararo.
Is that 21?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had Quartararo come on a Yamaha fighting with Pecco.
Yeah.
Right? There was still a fight there, and Pecco wrecked out, and that's how Quartararo won. And then we had Pecco. And that was still a Pecco-Quartararo fight, and then it was a Pecco-Jorge fight, and then it was a Jorge-Pecco fight that Jorge won. But since that first year that Quartararo won, it's been a Ducati pretty up there, pretty ready to go. Ever since they put 8 bikes on the grid.
Now they're down to 6, so we'll see.
Yeah, which...
8 bikes on the grid is ridiculous, though, when you think about it.
Yeah, it was like...
Because there was, like, plenty of times it was like, and the first 8 Ducatis, like, the first 8 bikes on the grid...
Yeah, it was like 7 out of
are,
8.
Yeah, are Ducatis.
Yeah. Yeah, it was...
I think it was just, what, Morbidelli holding back the Ducatis?
Yeah. Yeah, which this year, he's doing better so far. I mean, it's one weekend, and in the past, I think it's always been like, wow, Morbidelli's doing crazy, and then he kind of just dies off. So we'll see if he can keep the spirit.
I also don't think it was, like, a good thing for him mentally or just in general because, like, his teammate was Jorge Martin, and it was like...
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little rough.
Jorge is him.
Yeah, it is a little rough. I do want to dig into Pecco a little more, though, and get your predictions for him throughout the season.
I think I'm pretty sure I said this before, but I was pretty sure it was going to be Mark, then Pecco. Mm-hmm. But now it's like Mark, Alex, Pecco, first GP, right? I do think Pecco is going to do that thing where he falls behind for a bit, gets into a little rut, and then he's just going to lock in and do that, and then like start putting down like heaters and results.
Being the robot that he is.
Yeah, because every time he fell behind Jorge Martin, he was like, all right, the next GP weekend, he just locks in.
Yeah.
And then like...
The hard part for me is, one, Mark came out of the weekend, testing weekend, feeling great. It's like, yep, we did everything we needed to do. And in fact, he felt so great that he was worried about the race weekend because he said, normally when you show up to a race weekend, you show up at 0 and you build up to 100. And so by the race, you're at 100, you're set, you're ready to go. There is improvement throughout the weekend. And he showed up to the race weekend feeling like he had already had his peak improvement at that track on the bike.
So he was afraid. He saw that start his like downturn.
Right. Yeah. He's like, he felt like he had already done his fastest lap in testing. He had shown all his cars and that was it. Which Mark is known for his incredible mind games. He loves to play them. So whether or not that was just him messing with people or what, but he didn't.
Ooh, that's devious.
He didn't go that much better, but he did make some progress when it comes to the fastest lap that he laid down in Q2. Pecco, throughout testing, had some complaints. And Pecco's always, that's been one of my biggest issues with Pecco.
A little peppies.
He's kind of he's got to have his bed made in the morning. He's got to have, you know, like.
The stars have to align. Mercury has to be in retrograde. Yeah,
did you wipe my seat off? Why is there extra rubber on the tire today? Why, like, I don't know. And Pecco's a great racer. He's also a very respectful guy. I do love that about him. His sportsmanship is huge. You know, last year we saw he lost the championship. And they came over and tried talking to him, and he said, no, go talk to Jorge. He just won. Like, this is his deal. And it wasn't in a rude way. It wasn't like, get out of my face. It was just, no,
like, go talk to the world champion. Day, yeah.
It's his. He did it. So I respect Pecco for that. I do enjoy that. The sportsmanship is 100% there. What I am worried about is that Mark has always been more on the positive side of, like, not necessarily complaining. If there's something wrong with the bike and they don't have it figured out, he's honest, he's upfront about it, but more on the, yeah, we're going to work, we're going to figure this out. Not, we still have some problems to come through, and if we can get them, then we'll be good, right? He's had the good attitude. It's also, I go back to, like, races last year where Mark and Pecco both wreck out. Mark goes, runs, and picks up his bike, and still finishes the race.
That's true.
Right?
And it's got that dog in him.
And whether or not that is like I was trying to get some points or just I know I need more time on the bike or no, I'm going to bring the bike home if I can, I don't know. But that to me is like a huge difference between those two riders.
Just the mentality.
Yeah, of I got to finish this race or no, I'm too good for that. I reckon.
No, I will finish this race.
This bike, right.
Especially when you watch them do that and they like get back in the points. It's like, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Marcus had some crazy comebacks over the years. But I am also worried
every
about...
Every time he starts and then goes backward in the position order and then is like, all right, now to undo that.
Yeah.
Like that, what was it, race last year when his visor tear off, went under his back wheel, he spun out?
Yeah, the comebacks he had last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some of them were like legendary, man.
Yeah, it was nuts. And then a couple times he just had horrible qualifying. And, yeah.
Then drops heaters.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then somehow still has a tire left. That is what... The one thing that no one really talks about that well, they talk about like Bastianini being amazing with tire management. They talk about Pecco Bagnaia being amazing with tire management.
Pecco is really good at like consistent lap times with degrading conditions. He just like 130, 130, 130, 130, 130, 130, lap after lap.
Yes, I will give you that. If you go back and you watch Mark from the very beginning, he's called a baby alien for a reason. I don't think it's because he's so fast. I think it's because he doesn't ever stop. That man has always been able to come back and then still have a tire left over.
Yeah.
Pecco can set out consistent lap times. I don't know if Pecco could go fight for his life for five laps and then still stay in it.
With have a tire left. Times.
Does that make sense?
You even saw it with that when he eased up on the throttle and it was behind his brother and his brother was like was like fighting for what little grip he had left and Mark was like, yeah, this is enough.
Yeah, see ya. Gone. No problems at all. No. I don't know how. Back in the day I always questioned because he was on a Honda running a hard rear when everyone else would be on a soft. Now it's kinda like you're only allowed the two options, not the three, so it's a little bit different.
Really?
But getting back on track with Pecco, real quick, because I got to finish my thought.
My bad.
Nah, you're good. But I worry for his mental state in the garage, because
it's quickly becoming the Marquez show.
Yeah.
And it's been the Pecco show for the last couple of years, featuring Jack Miller and Bastianini.
Right.
And now it's looking like the Marquez show, featuring the former world champion.
Yeah.
It's like you're a two-time world champion. Well, this guy has a number that's bigger than that by multiple.
And think about it, you, as Pecco Bagnaia, you grew up watching Marc Marquez in your teens.
That's true.
You started MotoGP racing Marc Marquez on a Ducati with nothing, like, no way. You weren't able to do it. And then
especially on the same bike, same equipment, head-to-head, now objectively, you're like, no, he's the real deal. You know he's the real deal.
Yeah.
But to have it put in such blatant perspective, like, that could get in your head, depending on, like, how your mental state is.
Yeah, 100%. And
I'd beat my head. I'd be like, phew.
I don't think Pecco quite has the mental state. I think I've seen times in the past where when he's out, he's out. He's not that good. And to be fair,
it's not always. He does sometimes when under pressure, he does sometimes really like really lock in. I give him that. But Marquez has got that. He's got that look in his eye. You could tell he's always hungry.
Yeah, but he's also got that weird like jokes it off. Kind of like it's just a game. He's just out there playing with them.
Yeah.
That was what cracked
me.
I
love Marquez's smile. Anytime he does an interview, like he's got that look in his eye, like a predator is like, no, he's like, he.
Well, and also notice in the interview after the race, they asked him, so what was with the move? Was that tire pressure?
He didn't answer it at all.
He said, it was a great race. I'm so happy. It's so awesome to have me and my brother up here. Casey, you bye.
Yeah, like, I noticed that. I was like,
what was it?
You gotta unpack that there?
Yeah. And he also hid from someone from Ducati came up to him and was trying to talk to him about it, and he said, not here. So they're gonna talk about that later. So either he's pissed about it and somehow scrounged and figured it out, or a sponsor contacted him and told him to get more screen time. I don't know. I don't know. What's the truth? But I'm a little worried for Pecco with his mental state. Having a new favorite, right, teacher's pet, whatever you want to call it, in the shop next to him, in the garage next to him, I worry that we're just going to see like a slow Pecco decline throughout the year.
I don't think we'll see all of that.
I don't think so either.
I do think it definitely is a mental thing. It's like, hey, Marquez is my teammate now, and on the same equipment, he is performing really well. But I don't think it's going to be like a slow deal. I don't think he's going to be not fighting for podiums at any capacity.
The biggest thing that I think I would have a struggle with is like racing against him and knowing he's better is one thing. But to know that your team last year was like fighting to get another guy that you know has potential to be better. Because realistically, Mark was on a slower bike last year and still messing with him a little bit.
Yeah, so putting the moves on.
So if you're sitting there watching this guy that's on a slower bike for the first year ever.
He also rides more aggressively too. It's like, and there are times where Pecco tried to match that and they just like, they both crashed out.
And you see your team, your family, your boss, your whatever, like running after the guy, like, we need you. Where does that leave you? Yeah. Like they're jumping.
Especially shit. After knowing like the person you were in the title contention with was an option for Jorge Martin. Like Jorge Martin was an option and then they were like, no. Mark.
That guy. Yeah.
It's like,
that's what's nuts about it. Because Jorge
like enough to like
seat for forever.
Enough to like, I don't know, I'm not going to say to pretend to the politics, but from my perspective, it looked like they said yes to Jorge and then they backdoored Marquez, which kind of like ticked Jorge off. So he just went to Aprilia. Mm-hmm. If I'm Pecco sitting and watching that, it's like, oh, I get it. You want like my competition for the last couple years, my close competition for the actual championship. And then Martin was like, no. We want Marquez. We were gonna settle for Jorge.
Yeah. Because Davide Tardozzi was not willing to get rid of the guy. And that's when all the videos started popping up of that guy watching Mark throughout the year and calling him a phenomenon. Yeah. I think Ducati knows they have a big transition coming up. And Marquez, outside of winning races, that's huge. Marquez also brings in sponsors.
Yes.
Which is huge for a team that brings in more money. But Marquez is also one of the, I mean, he's been on the grid for forever. He's seen all the changes, but he is one of the best people for feedback on the bike.
Like a good technical rider? Like for the team perspective, like, hey, I rode this. I noticed this, and this, and is good at communicating that to the engineers and the race team so they know what actually to fix.
Yeah.
As opposed to saying, the bike's trash. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, I noticed this on the front end. I noticed this in the rear. I noticed this in this corner.
Yeah, Mark, way back in the day, one of the documentaries on him, they talked about, his dad was talking about how he was always interested in what the mechanics were doing. He's always interested in what they're doing to the bike. And it isn't just coming in. You'll see some of these MotoGP riders, like you and I, maybe the listeners watching, I don't know. If you're a club racer or you're a track day junkie or whatever else, it is most likely that you do most of your own work on your bike, right? Or you try to, or you're at least a little bit mechanical.
If you don't have a team, what option do you have?
Yeah, right? You're out there, you're like, I need 3 more clicks to my suspension, I think. I don't know. Or you talk to someone, you get that answer, you're adjusting your own tire pressure, all of that. A lot of these racers out there are more artists than motorcyclists, if that makes sense. And so they come in and they say things like, it feels weird, it is squishy, or it slips this way when I do this. And then it's up to the engineers to interpret that and the data into fixing the bike. Marquez is a rider, at least as far as I understand, that has been able to come in and give more feedback on actual like bike mechanics. Because in the beginning, he was very interested in it, and he tried to speak their language, which maybe that's why he's one of the best, is because he has that edge over some of the other riders.
You get better feedback, give you better what you're asking for.
Exactly, right? Being able to effectively communicate with the people that are going to fix the bike how you want it. He's able to do that. So I do think there is a small level of Ducati that lives in this. We need this guy for testing over the next 2 years. He's going to be able to give us a ton of good information and give us one of the best bikes. At the cost of maybe pissing off your Italian rider that just won 2 championships and trading him for a Spanish rider. But
granted, Ducati is Italian red, Italian driver, rider, sure, but it's like 2 times more than that. And then people were saying he's washed last year, like, is he still good for it after all the, you know, the failings with Honda after that, then eventually going to Gresini, and then not having the best start to the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started pulling the moves, and it was like, this guy's on a year-old bike, and he's like battling with the GP24s when he was on a GP23 last year, and he was like
a year-old bike that he had never ridden before.
Yeah, and then whenever the weather conditions got bad, whenever that happened, it was like,
this guy knows how to ride.
Oh.
That's the other. That
our
is the
main
other
guy, thing too. He's making our main guy sweat.
That is the other thing too, is that there are several riders out on the grid that are really good in mixed conditions. Jack Miller, huge.
Brad Binder.
Yep, Binder is also.
I love that race. That was a couple years ago.
And
it's my favorites.
Mark, and the difference between Mark and the other two is that Mark can do it all.
Yeah.
He's always been able to do it all. He was always the fastest one on the flag to flag, swapping bikes. Always able to ride in the rain like crazy. Able to ride in the dry. Like no offense to Top Gun Maverick, but it gets rainy out there and Maverick says, see ya. And he turns the power off on the bike and he gets scared. Morbidelli, for some odd reason, decides to stay out on slicks. and just forever.
It could work. You never know.
Binder did it. Yeah, it happened once. That was,
chasing that. We've been chasing that high ever since.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's probably all we got for the week, unless you got anything else.
Well, that's it for now. I'm keeping my eye on a few riders.
Yep. Like I said, we'll see a couple episodes coming out with some guests. Reach out if you want to be a guest on the show. Give me a good reason why, and we'll get you on. And if you haven't signed up for the fantasy yet, use the code down below. Head over to MotoGP.com. Sign up for the fantasy. Join us. We'll be announcing the winners for the weekly point leaders and then obviously the winner at the end of the year. So thank you everyone for listening, and we will see you guys in the next episode.
Have you ever drug your knee on the ground at 100 miles an hour?